Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit be with us. May you lead me to say what you would have me to proclaim this day, and may we hear it with joyful and obedient ears. In Christ's name, amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter, verses 22 through 31. Listen for what the Word of God is saying today. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jacob, a familiar character in the Old Testament. Maybe some of you remember Jacob as a kindly older man leading his people. But Jacob wasn't always that way. For earlier in his life, Jacob was a bit of a shady character. He was a trickster. He was a scoundrel. He was a cheater. He cheated his brother Esau. He cheated his father-in-law Laban. And he even cheated his own father. His characteristics, well, they were a bit iffy. And they really left much to be desired. Have you known any tricksters in your life? Have you known any cheaters? Have you known any who were scoundrels? Well, probably you have at one point or another. I want to tell you a story this morning. It's a little bit like Jacob if you stretch it a little way, okay? You're going to have to stretch it with me a little way. But I know this little boy. He happens to be my great nephew. He's 5 now. I think at the time he was 4. Well, this terrific little boy does not like to lose at games. He has inherited a strong Vredenburg tendency. We don't like losing. Well, you see, this little boy likes to win, and sometimes family members are gentle, maybe we could say, and they kind of let him win or help him along a little bit. But there's one family member who doesn't like to coddle him too much. And he will play for keeps, this older person. And, well, this little guy finally learned a little bit about how to cheat once in a while. And the older guy, who happened to be his papa, said to him one day, as I understand it, "You're a cheater." And from that day forward, whenever the little guy plays a game with anybody, he starts out by saying, "You know, I'm a cheater." Well, that's sort of like Jacob. Jacob's a cheater. He's not done good things in his life up to this point. You know, many of us know someone, and maybe it's ourselves, who hasn't always done good things in their lives. Maybe we've been the scoundrel or the trickster or the cheater. And maybe we need some time like Jacob needed in his life to struggle with God. Just prior to this passage, Jacob has learned that his brother Esau is coming to meet him. I need to fill in a little bit of the story here. You see, Jacob escaped the house of Laban, his wife's father, and he took possessions that weren't always all his, even with his possessions. And they snuck out by cover of darkness. Makes a good movie, doesn't it? They sneak out by cover of darkness. And they come to a place where Jacob sends his wives and children and all of his possessions across the ford of the Jabbok. And then he learns that his brother Esau is going to come and meet him. Well, he had cheated his brother Esau, and he was a bit afraid. As a matter of fact, this is what he said. When the messengers returned to Jacob, see, Jacob sent out his spies. They said, "We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men with him." In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and the herds and camels as well. He thought, if Esau comes to attack one group, the group that is left may escape. And then he offers up this prayer, "Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children." So here you have this fellow Jacob, who has escaped by cover of darkness, taken some things that weren't necessarily his, and some that were. He finds out his brother is coming for him. But Jacob doesn't know in what way Esau is coming in reality. Now, if I trick my brothers, they're better than Esau. But if I trick my brothers and did something really nasty or bad to them, I might be fearful if I learn that they're coming to meet me, because maybe I wouldn't know the outcome of that. Jacob feels the same way about Esau. And so, this beginning wrestling match takes place. We see Jacob being proud of what he did to Laban, and we see him being afraid of what he did to his brother Esau, and what revenge his brother might take. And we see Jacob being brought down low. Low. He's brought down low, and he has to consider what will happen to him. Jacob is alone, and he goes to bed at night, and he finds that he's wrestling. He's wrestling with a man. In the Hebrew scriptures, it's called a divine being. And he's wrestling this man till morning. And he's struggling. And he asks this being ultimately to bless him. One scholar states regarding this wrestling match, this situation, as being one of a dark night of the soul. Jacob, at this point, has a reckoning with God. It's another example found in Scripture of what we call the dark night of the soul. If you study your Scriptures well, you'll find out that many people wrestled with God. Even saints wrestled with God. Probably the most noted was Mother Teresa, who lived a life of struggling in her soul regarding her relationship with God through Christ. And yet, even through and in the midst of that struggling, she kept faith in Christ and faith in God and did her work as God would command her to do. In this wrestling match, when Jacob asked to be blessed, he is blessed. And when he asked the man he was wrestling with what his name was, he really didn't answer him. When the man he was wrestling asked Jacob his name, the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Throughout Scripture, anytime we see where a person's name is changed, Jacob to Israel, Saul to Paul, we know that God has worked within them in some way, that God has changed that person and made them a new being. Jacob comes away from this event physically lame, but with a new spirit about him, and having been renewed by God to be the man we see Jacob becoming in his later years. So what's this wrestling match mean to us? If we're honest with ourselves, we too oftentimes struggle with our past, our joys and celebrations, but our demons, our struggles, our concerns, the issues that have impacted our lives. We too can experience a dark night of the soul. We too can be transformed by God into what God wants us to be by struggling with him. That's not a message we oftentimes hear. You don't often hear someone say to you, "Yes, go out and struggle with God. Struggle with God," because it's in the struggling that you'll be made new. It's in the struggling that you'll understand how God works in your life in a better way. It's in the struggle that God blesses us. I hear many people, as I sit with them and listen to them, say to me, "You know, I don't think I should struggle with God, and definitely I should never be angry with God." I have a little different perspective on that, and I really think it's biblically based. I believe that God is a big enough God who can handle our anger, our frustration, our struggles. I believe the God that I know holds out his arms to us and says, as Jesus said, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I believe our God walks with us and through us in our struggles. You see, when we're angry with God, we're still in a relationship with God. We haven't turned our back and walked away. I invite you later on to turn to some of the Psalms in the book of Lamentations and read some of those where the people are asking, "Why, God? How long, God? I am angry, God. Help me, God." That was the kind of wrestling match I believe Jacob had. So what do we do with this once we know it? Well, my friends, we invite God into not only our joys in life, but we invite God into our struggles. You know how easy it is when we say what praises and thanksgivings you have, where people can share praises and thanksgiving, and we're quick to say thank you to God for the many blessings you have given us. But oftentimes when we ask, what are your concerns and your needs, we shut down a little bit and we don't share as readily with one another. God wants us to share those struggles in the community of faith so that we too can walk with each other and bring hope and help. When we open ourselves to God acting in our life, God will change us. I hope you caught the first part. When we open ourselves to God, God will change us, just as he changed Jacob. When God changes us, our whole being and character will change as well. Just like Jacob. Jacob received the new name of Israel. We too will have a new identity when we've given ourselves to God. When we thoroughly have come to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and said, God, you are mine. Jesus, you have forgiven me. Holy Spirit, work within me. We will be made new. Wow. And you know, I need to remind you of something right there. Sometimes our being made new is done in just little bit by little bit by little bit. Sometimes our being made new is one big action, like Saul becoming Paul. But God can and will change us. And when God does that, people will see the change in you and me. Just as Jacob, after this event, has his life changed, he leads the people of Israel as a benevolent, loving, guiding leader. We will find that we can do no other than please God, place our trust in God, give him our life, and serve him faithfully. Yes, friends, God can and will continue to change us throughout all of our lives, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Our new name, when we're changed, may not change from Bonnie to something else. But I believe our surname, our last name changes. And I believe our last name changes to Christian. It's my prayer this day that you might find the Jacob in you and that you'll allow yourself to wrestle with God, to receive God's blessings, to allow the Holy Spirit to change you, that you might become a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that indeed you can change us. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we pray this day, especially as we come to communion, that your Spirit will work in and through us, that we might be renewed, restored, and redeemed through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.